You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Ramil, the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to follow the show if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. This episode is brought to you once again by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms, Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Today, I'll be talking sports, specifically in context of Jimmy Butler. A lot going on with him. His name, well, making the rounds around social media and media in general because of his contract, because he might want out of Miami. And I'll talk about all these things before our last segment of the show, which is my continuing conversation with Katie Heindel. As we talked in yesterday's podcast, we were kind of leading up to the recent rash behavior from fans around the NBA. And of course, we recorded this yesterday afternoon. And what happens in last night's Washington-Philadelphia playoff game, but a fan runs out onto the court to try and attempt some kind of dunk or imaginary layup before being absolutely leveled by an arena security guard. And look, I don't think we couldn't have mentioned this particular incident, but I don't even know if we talked about the general safety of players being an issue here. But clearly something has to be done. Because now when you're talking about a fan, somehow being able to get this close to a player, look, there's metal scanners and things of that sort. You can't just bring a weapon into an arena. Thank goodness. It should never come down to this question whether or not you'll be able to injure a player out on the floor. But you could have tackled somebody. Like, what if that's a strange scenario? What if it's a crazed fan for your opponent? And all of a sudden you're thinking to yourself, maybe I can even out the series if I take out X player. That's a legitimate possibility. That guy got way too close to players. And yeah, these players in theory would be able to just stop and say, whoa, get away from me. But I mean, maybe they're turned around. Maybe they come up behind somebody on the bench and just punch them in the back of the head. Like, this is a potential situation for injury here. And again, I don't think that Katie and I talk about it. We were just talking about the larger macro issue about why fans feel this proprietary control over players, that they can just treat them as subhuman. And that's a terrible topic of conversation with a long history, as you probably are fully aware. Like, I don't want to always make this about the kind of historical aspects of ownership of human beings, but let's not ignore that either. You know, it's a factor for one. Two, I think there's also this overlying tension from a bad society and a bad time period in society in general. And I think there's just a general lack of respect. And Katie hinted at this in the segment. So we'll talk about that later on also about how fans just have this nature to act a certain way on social media. And there's a lack of understanding about the actual human element here, that you're acting like a bad person because, well, you know, it's just an egg on Twitter, right? So you can just say whatever you want to. Anyway, that's all for the last segment. We'll talk about that later on. So make sure you definitely stay tuned for that. But also, I wanted to talk a little bit about Jimmy Butler. As I mentioned before, the contract situation getting a lot of play here, and probably deservedly so, because it's a concern. I went on a recent podcast just earlier today, actually, and talked about the Jimmy contract situation. And while you should absolutely listen to that pod and listen to my conversation about that as well, I'll offer some of my perspective here. The reality is, if you haven't been paying attention, or if you haven't seen it, or if you've kind of ignored the potential issue looming large for Miami, is that Jimmy is eligible for a 4-year extension, if I'm not mistaken, referred to as the Supermax extension, worth about $181 million. That is, he would have to opt out of his current deal, the last season of his current deal, and the year 22-23 season, which would be not next season. Next season would be still the 21-22 season. So the fourth year of that deal, he would opt out, and this extension would replace that option beginning that season. And the four-year extension would then include salaries of $40 million in 22-23, $43.8 million in 23-24, $47 million in 24-25, and $50.3 million for 25-26 when Jimmy will be 36 years old. That's a lot of money. That is a lot of money. And already a lot of people are concerned about whether or not Miami's going to offer that extension, whether or not it makes sense for them to do so. And I'll tell you right now, Miami will absolutely offer that extension. And the bigger question, though, is whether or not Jimmy will take it. Now, why is Miami going to offer it? Consider where they were a couple years ago when they added Jimmy Butler, having to trade Hassan Whiteside without a clear future, with Dion Waiter clearly your best player, or at least in his mind thinking so, and mostly journeyman-level type players that were overachieving in Miami and not taking the Heat roster to where it needed to be. You have a young potential star in Bam Adebayo playing behind Whiteside. You have Josh Richardson, Justice Winslow. And for some reason, Jimmy Butler decides to play in Miami. Now, this could all tie together in that conversation that Katie and I had in yesterday's podcast, which you should absolutely have listened to by now. But to me, look, Jimmy and his alliance with Miami, the alignment with Miami's values, I think cannot be ignored. And so, yes, he absolutely saw his best version of himself with his franchise. He also got paid a lot of money, sure. And I think there's a big part of that, even though he could have made if I'm recalling reports correctly, he could have made more had he stayed in Philadelphia. But he chose to come to Miami because of that alignment, because of the shared vision for what he could be, what the team could be. And certainly it's paid off. They've been a very, very good team over the last couple seasons with some minor pitfalls along the way. But Jimmy has thrived here in South Florida, and I think he will continue to do so moving forward. But nobody saw that coming. Like, yeah, I'd been talking about it longer than anybody. His alignment with Miami's core values of work ethic and everything else like that. I had been the first to really talk about Jimmy as the potential addition here. And it made a lot of sense. It still does. But I don't think anybody really thought that it was a legitimate one. I remember talking to other media members around the country and them guessing where Jimmy would wind up. And the odds on favorite were the Houston Rockets or perhaps the Clippers alongside Kawhi Leonard and things of that sort. And, of course, he winds up choosing Miami. And then the immediate conversation shifts on a national level, not just from media, but from fans and other people on social media. Well, he came here to retire, and he's made a bad decision because Miami's not going to go anywhere. Worked out pretty well for Miami. Hasn't shut them up, as we've seen over the last couple of days since Miami was ousted from the playoffs. It does feel like almost everybody on a national level has been waiting for an opportunity to just take a dump all over Jimmy and his name and what Miami is able to accomplish, their brand, their culture, everything else that has become so synonymous with the Miami Heat level of playing basketball. But that's a whole conversation for another time. I'll probably be having that sometime later on this week with another national media member. So something to look forward to. Make sure you follow the show and subscribe, of course, if you haven't already. But as far as why Jimmy came here to Miami, I think that's a big part of that shared ideas, the core values. We know that he's been able to make the most of his time here. And you have to believe that the Miami Heat front office is incredibly appreciative of Jimmy's decision, that in the wake of Dwayne Wade's retirement, a lack of identity on this team, certainly a lack of a national face that you could identify as being a part of the Miami Heat organization. Nobody was looking at this roster and saying, that's Hassan Whiteside's team. Like, something that always sticks out to me is, you know, when the media landscape changed in the 90s with the ascendance of Michael Jordan and, you know, the way they were marketing games on Sundays, I don't know, for you old heads out there like me, watching NBA TV on NBC, and it was always Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls taking on Patrick Ewing and the New York Knicks. And that was kind of like, that was the name, right, that attached or defined your franchise and how people, casuals, if you will, in today's landscape, perceived your team. It could break down to just that guy versus that guy, and that was a name that you could identify. Who was that name 2 years ago before Jimmy came? Was it Dion? Was it one-time All-Star Goran Dragic? Was it Josh Richardson? You know, was it Hassan? Because I certainly don't think it was. So they had no name. They weren't going anywhere. And then Jimmy comes here and basically renews and reinvigorates a franchise that was kind of lackluster and missing an identity. And he clearly provides it, becomes an extension of the culture and everything else. So taking that into consideration, and given what we've seen from this franchise in the past, and I'm looking specifically at extensions given to guys like Deion Waiters or contracts given to Deion, James Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, Bam Adebayo, even before that, you know, when you look at Tyler Johnson, and I think that's the one that really stands out to me, is that this is an organization, and look, there's context around Tyler's decision. I totally get it. But I also believe that a big part of the decision-making process that will change how Miami views Jimmy or whether or not they will offer the extension is they want to take care of their guys. It's important for them to look like they take care of their guys around the NBA. That this is a franchise that will help you become the best version of yourself. And if you get to that point, and this is something that I kind of gleaned from a recent conversation I had with Udonis Haslam, where I talked to him about his impact on this team. And he said, look, I know that, and I'm paraphrasing here, I know that a lot of people just look at me and the fact that I'm not playing, but I also take it very seriously how I reach out to younger players and help mentor them and help them understand that if you want to be a good player and you want to get paid, and a lot of guys, every guy in the league wants to get paid, you got to put in the work. And so I think in a way, in his own way, Udonis has become very much an extension of that Miami Heat culture and brand and everything else, because he helps from the player side of things. You put in the work, you get paid. And that means a great deal to these guys. And it means a great deal to just guys around the NBA, that if you play well, if you perform at the highest level and you do what you're supposed to do and you're held accountable by this franchise, you're going to get paid. Whether it's by Miami or somebody else, it doesn't matter. You're going to get paid. And I think that matters. And so I think you want to be able to continue to put your best face forward, at least publicly, you know, that there's some status to be attached to that, whether or not you're a free agent and things of that sort. And you come to Miami, they're a team that will take care of you. And look, this is an important topic, because I really do think that players do look at that. And I think it's important. So I'll put a pin in it, talk about that a little bit more in the next segment. But one thing I did also want to bring up is the fact that, well, this episode is brought to you by Locker Room, the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download. Once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Locker Room is a perfect place to start or join a conversation about the league. You'll find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors like the possibility of a Jimmy Butler extension that pays him $181 million. You can even find Locked On hosts around the NBA, Major League Baseball, and NHL. So go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NBA group for the latest league updates. I know you'll find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite teams and leagues. Download the Locker Room app today. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. And if you want to talk about doing things differently, well, why do you keep going to an auto parts store looking for the parts you might need? They're just going to order those parts and order them from their warehouse, whatever brand they happen to carry. You can go to your computer and look up the same parts on rockauto.com, a family-owned business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years, two decades. You can choose from hundreds of manufacturers on the easy-to-use site, and you get everything you need with just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Why spend more at a chain store when rockauto.com's low prices are the same for everybody? So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or your truck, and then go to the section that says, "How'd you hear about us?" and write the phrase "Locked On," so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. That's rockauto.com. The Miami Heat are out of the playoffs, but the road to the finals still continues, and our coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it, and at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season with a nice, cold, refreshing Michelob Ultra. So we were talking a little bit about Jimmy Butler's contract extension and the possibilities of whether or not Miami will offer it. Will Jimmy take it? And I think there are still questions on both sides of the equation. My feeling is, as I pointed out in the previous segment, that Miami will absolutely offer it. I made the argument because I think knowing where this franchise has been over the last couple of years, knowing what they did and were able to accomplish, how indebted they were, I think a lot has changed in how they treat their players. The Dwayne Wade situation, I think, looms large here as well because it redefined how they approach things. They took a really big risk, and one that they're kind of struggling with still. At that time, they struggled with it, and they're still continuing to struggle with it because Dwayne left this franchise under really bad terms in 2016, and they went over the top in making sure that once they brought him back, that they gave him everything that he could possibly want, and it's paid off to some degree. But now you're looking at Dwayne Wade wearing Utah Jazz hats and playing golf in Utah and enjoying all the perks that come with ownership over a team that's, you know, a pretty good team and might have a better future than Miami's. You can make a case, I suppose, that Utah is certainly a better team than the Heat. And I think now this team is somewhat burnt. I think they're going to overreact to things a little bit to make sure that they continue to put that best face forward about how we take care of our guys, because they kind of blew it with Dwayne, and I think they'll be the first to admit that. They can't afford to make that same mistake with Jimmy. You know, within a 3-year span, you had LeBron leaving, you had, you know, Dwayne leaving, you had Chris Bosh basically being told, we don't want you to play here. That certainly left a sour taste around the league. Then you kind of overcompensate for it by paying Tyler Johnson, by paying Deion Waiters, by paying James Johnson and Hassan and everybody else. And so now you're kind of circling back a little bit and saying, okay, here we are as a franchise. What do we do? You know, this team is basically represented by Jimmy on and off the court. And given that, you're going to want to take care of him. There are concerns there because obviously your team is going to be hamstrung by what you can do in the future. Look, you already have got a Supermax player in Bam. You're going to have one in Jimmy who takes up 35% of your salary cap space. That is some pretty considerable amount of cheddar. And how you kind of work around trying to incorporate Duncan Robinson, if you do sign him this year, you know, how do you add guys like maybe Kyle Lowry, maybe re-sign Victor Oladipo, which I think is very much on the table. All those things have to be taken into consideration. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad deal for Miami to offer that kind of contract to Jimmy Butler. I know some of you are probably going, what? Did you not see Jimmy Butler getting outscored by Bryn Forbes? Yeah, believe me, I saw it. And I understand that there are concerns there. I've made that case recently as well, that Jimmy's game probably will not age well. I think that's been pretty obvious for some time now. I remember even in my exit interview with Rowan Nadkarnia of Sports Illustrated last season, we talked about Jimmy fresh off one of the best performances in NBA Finals history. And we already were wondering whether or not he was going to age well. Followed that up by a fantastic season during the games in which he played. But between COVID and injury and other things, it took away a little bit of the shine off of Jimmy's name. And then he kind of compounds that by struggling in the playoffs. And you look at whether or not he's going to be able to bounce back and have a fantastic future as a 35-year-old, 36-year-old player. I'm not confident of that. And yet you still have to offer him the contract. Now, the hope, if you're going to pin one on anything, is whether or not Jimmy accepts it. That he can assess whether or not he's going to be that kind of player that wants to get paid, whether or not he's going to want to tie up the franchise and limit what they can do over the next couple of years. He acknowledges in his post-game presser after game 4 that he, Bam, Tyler, everybody has to go out there and do what they can to bring in additional talent. That's great. That he sees himself as a recruiter, the face of this franchise that can't add other players like that. But he also has to be able to understand that, well, when you're getting paid $50 million a year, it's not as likely that you're going to attract other superstar players here. It's a lot more challenging to do exactly that. But I also think that there's the possibility that the team and the player could kind of pin on it, put a pin on that thought process, because Well, here, I'll kind of step back here. I'll walk it back a little bit and offer my perspective. When it comes to contracts in the NBA, it's not just about getting paid a lot of money because you want to get money. Like, who doesn't want to get paid a lot of money? There's also a lot of status that comes with being a team's highest paid player, which is why Dwayne was as pissed off as he was in 2016 and went to a bad Chicago team so he could get paid a lot of money. In Miami's case, and currently with Jimmy, I think he wants to be able to say, yeah, I'm a top 15 guy. I'm getting paid like a top 15 guy. So make sure you continue to pay me like a top 15 guy. You can debate that as much as you want to. I don't think there's a clear answer one way or the other. My feeling is that, yes, he is a top 15 guy. I also don't know if you want to pay him that kind of money, because while his impact is immeasurable based on lots of different things that he does well, generally, that kind of money is saved for people who can bail you out in offensive situations where you need a bucket. Jimmy is not necessarily a bucket getter. We saw that against Milwaukee. And although we saw a different version of him in the NBA Finals last season, I don't know that we can rely on that version of him moving forward. I don't know that we're going to get 2020 NBA Finals MVP Jimmy Butler anytime in the future. Like, those days might be over for Jimmy, and I think that's a legitimate concern. I think that's a realistic concern also. He's 31 years old. How much better is he going to get down the road? I don't know that we have any kind of clear answer, especially when he can't shoot from three-point range. So he's going to want that contract because of the status that comes with it, because he wants to be able to say, yeah, I am the guy who gets paid money. I will. He's always wanted that role as far as being looked at as the top dog, the big leader of this locker room on the floor and off the floor. He's always wanted that. He never had that in Chicago, and now he does in Miami. And while he had that in terms of his emotional impact in Minnesota, Karl Anthony Towns was still the man there in terms of talent and how he was viewed by the franchise in Philadelphia. That was Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, and plus there was a whole other level of dysfunctionality to that franchise that he has not yet to experience here. And so I think when he looks at and he assesses whether or not he wants that kind of deal, he'll probably take it. Now, if there's any hope, it's that maybe when you're talking about year three or four, you can already start to look at Blake Griffin's situation in Detroit as a possible avenue for both the team and the player. He'll take the money here because he wants to get paid, because he has a legitimate belief that between he, Bam, and whoever else they add in between now and then, they can compete for a title. But by year three, before the start of year three of that contract extension, if Miami does not have a realistic path to a title, or they just can't seem to add any other future players, or who knows what happens. Every franchise changes direction almost perpetually. And so who knows what Miami's going to be like in a couple years down the road. Jimmy walks into that front office and he says, I want out. And then they kind of start talking about contract buyouts. And Jimmy accepts whatever buyout they offer him and doesn't lose face publicly, because he gets paid, he gets bought out of his contract, and he can join another franchise at that time. Now, I will also kind of put an umbrella over all this topic of conversation and say, I think it sucks. I think it sucks that national media members are already waiting for Jimmy to ask for a trade, that people are asking from Heat fans and themselves that they should trade Jimmy, not just because they've done him wrong or because they haven't done enough to make the most out of his 2 years in Miami, but because maybe he's not a legitimate superstar because he can't outscore Bryn Forbes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a terrible level of conversation because Jimmy's performance, at least to me, seemed to transcend any kind of actual win-loss success. Like, everything he did for this team last year in the bubble, the things that he's done as far as his emotional leadership and reaching out to everybody in that locker room and transforming the culture and reinvigorating it, as I mentioned before, those things, you can't put a value on that. If it's $181 million from the Miami Heat side of things, then so be it. And I think he deserves the money. I think he'll get the money. And I think we should just expect them to be able to make the most out of that tenure while he's, as long as he's here in Miami, the expectations shift onto Pat Riley to do whatever they can to get the best roster available, to build the best roster possible, whether that's acquiring draft picks or getting the right veterans or getting the right players here, there, or anywhere, you do it. If you have to scan the overseas and scout different teams all over the place and bring in undrafted guys that you think can make an impact, you do it. You find whatever you can to build around Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. They're going to get paid. They've got the big bucks, and now it's just kind of filling in around the edges. Make smarter decisions. Look, and this isn't critical of that front office. They've done a phenomenal job in the 20-something years of Pat Riley's tenure here. But now the challenge is going to become increasingly more difficult once Jimmy signs that extension. And I really do believe he will. Anyway, stay tuned because I'll be talking with Katie Heindel about what's going on around the league regarding fans and their terrible levels of behavior. But before you do that, make sure you go to BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track all that action at BetOnline, but there's tons of sports action going on right now with the start of the new WNBA season, the NBA playoffs, of course, the NHL, and much more. So head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, contest information, and more. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. Well, I've kind of taken up too much of your time already. I did want to talk about fans and the recent issues there because
let's talk about jerks.
Good way. You got the time for it? Let's do it. It's been so weird. Obviously my own personal interaction with Bucks fans over the last week has been a trying one for me. I know how people feel passionately about their team and the fans and everything. Oh, sorry, the players that they root for, but it's also very weird to see a human being like Russell Westbrook leaving the floor and to dump a tub of popcorn, to have Kyrie Irving walking again towards the locker room and throw a bottle at his head because he stepped on a cartoon leprechaun at the center of Boston Garden floor. All this kind of interaction, and it just feels like it's getting worse. And I don't know what to do about it. I don't know what to say about it because it's absolutely disgusting to me. I always tend to err on the side of like the players, or at least see from their perspective. And I remember a year or two ago just talking about this with Ben Golliver and just saying, I'd be okay with players going to the stands and just like knocking the crap out of fans because it feels like it's deserved sometimes. And obviously you don't necessarily want to go that route because the malice at the Palace showed that that's not exactly a viable option either, but fans aren't going to stop. And I don't know if it's just being cooped up, the pressure of COVID and all the difficulties of the last year, but it feels like that line has been blurred more than ever before.
Yeah, I think like this, it's like entitled and very proprietary behavior.
Yes.
Which is extremely gross on all fronts.
Yes.
I think what you said about the pandemic, there is some truth in that because I think there's this kind of level of isolation, obviously, that everybody has gone through in terms of just like
we've forgotten how to interact with people.
Yes, but also I don't believe that because I think your average person, the way that you manifest that is just being awkward in public again. It's not being a lunatic or like being
I don't see that. And I've been like I don't know. I feel like people now are like, you know what? I'm finally out. I'm finally doing what I want to do. And the next person that crosses me, I'm going to go ahead and punch him in the fucking face. Yeah. And I just feel seriously, I think that there's so much tension pent up there and it's just manifesting very badly. That's just my perspective. I'm not like that necessarily. And I tend to gravitate more towards what you're talking about as far as the awkwardness, but I've seen people out and about in public and it's just like, I'm not ready to be within 5 feet of you yet. You know, like the personal space thing is, you know, in Miami in particular, the concept of personal space is non-existent. And it's kind of weird, especially now with still on the throes of the pandemic and everything else that's happening, even if it's on the fringes of it. But I don't know. I think people are I think they're angrier. I don't think they're acting awkwardly. I think they're just going to be angry. And especially now with the passion of their fans and the playoffs and everything else, it's just manifesting in really ugly ways.
Perhaps. I think what is kind of compounded this. You actually kind of can see this in the way that some people, it's almost like, how did you get through the pandemic? Did you look at it as an inconvenience for you personally? Or were you like, everybody's having a really bad time this year? You know what I mean? And I think there are kind of two subsets of people. And sure, it's the people that felt personally inconvenienced that I think are going out and behaving this way in public. What I was going to say is I think all that is probably compounded on the fact that like the way that we kind of live our lives online, however degree you are on that, yeah. like there's something very scary and removed and kind of detached about like just having a personality online, mm-hmm. you know, whether you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook, you're on Instagram, you're on all of them, it doesn't matter, but you kind of, you look at your life through a lens, you're not even actually in it in the moment. And I think like there's a certain remove of like your brain signaling to your body, what I'm about to do, I should not do this. You know, there's like everything is really performative, I guess. I think like there's a part like that is partially going on. I think what you said about people feeling cooped up, potentially angry, sure. Again, that's not how I felt the first time I was like out in a public setting. I felt extremely awkward, but you know, like different strokes, I guess. And then you also have this underlying shitty thing about, again, this is hard for me to like empathize with because I have never felt this way, but that you buy a ticket to a game and there's something proprietary in that for you. Mm-hmm. Like you are kind of, you're going not to watch as a spectator, you're going and then you are felt you are owed something, whether that's a certain level of performance, whether that is just like, you know, your quote money's worth. I don't know what you expect because I have never felt that way. It's kind of like a privileged position to be in to attend in person, especially after like the year and a half everyone has just had. And the fact that like, I know people want to get out of that and they want that out of their memories, you know, but like, we're not there yet. And like, that's still incredibly fresh. I don't know what the league should do. I think like bans make sense, but I don't know how you uphold those bans.
You can't.
Pardon? You can't?
Yeah. No, I don't think you can. Like,
Yeah,
you buy a ticket, and unless that one particular usher recognizes you as a jerk who got arrested, or if you wear a hoodie or something like that, like, they're not going to recognize you.
Come in disguise. Yeah, you come with weird sunglasses, like a wig on, if you really want to go all out. But like the bigger thing here is not, it is individuals, but it is, we're seeing this kind of uptick in a specific type of behavior, and I think the players are right to call it out. I don't condone violence, but I agree with you to a point that like it would be very dissuading for people if it was like, okay, you're going to do that. We're going to put you in a room with Russell Westbrook and we'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, Kevin Durant's point, like, you know, defending his teammate and calling, you know, that they're not just members of the human zoo there that people can just mock and try to, you know, actually injure by throwing things at. And yet the response to that is, oh, the guy with 20 burners is telling us to be more mature. And it's like, he's not wrong. I mean,
there's also different tiers of maturity, right? And it's up to you to navigate in your life and decide like when and where to apply those things. And some people are just beyond that, I guess. Like there is no help because if you told, you know, that Celtics fan who like threw the water bottle because someone stomped on the face of a cartoon leprechaun, or if like you're the guy who was cowardly enough to think about the popcorn, like I was seething because he just dumped it through some grate, like some hole in the
plate. Know.
It was just like he knew he did it. It was a very cowardly move to begin with, but it wasn't like he was whipping it and someone could look back and see his face. It's like he was obscured and hidden. He was like above and kind of like dropping something on Russ below. And it's like, could you be more of a coward? Probably not. And like that, I think, tells you more about the people doing this kind of shit. But I don't know what the response is. Like, I think the league should absolutely crack down. I don't know how they'll do that. Maybe it's just like harsher penalties. I don't know. Like, is it unreasonable to say like there could be like monetary charges or like criminal charges, the things that unfortunately people respond to, like not to be a narc, but like at some point there has to be like a harsher level of consequence, right? Because if you're kind of like endangering, not just the player, but also the people around you.
Well, they trust the you know, judicial system to handle that. Right. And they'll be probably fine. I look at the kid, and he looked like he was young, not to let him off the hook, right? But he seemed fairly
like
young.
A child. Like right. The Boston's, the Celtics fan, I was I think he looks like, to me, I was like, is he like 21?
Yeah, I thought he was like in that 18 to 21.
Yeah.
Probably not even drinking. Maybe he snuck in a beer, you know, or maybe somebody bought him a beer and like he had a couple and it was just like, oh, screw you, Kyrie. Because of Kyrie's comments, which again, like if you're offended by the fact that Kyrie's saying, let's not be racist, let's try to keep it to just about basketball, there's a good chance you're the racist. You know, I mean, if you're offended by that sort of thing, that's not, that says a lot more about you than
it does
Kyrie.
That's going to put you on guard. Then I think exactly like that's a little bit more telling about your behavior. But like what we were saying earlier, like Russ gets a lot of this stuff because again, I think he is a very unapologetic kind of person. And I think that like dog whistles to a lot of racists and bigots, because it's like there's this sense of like proprietary, like he shouldn't act that way. Like, who does he think he is? Like, where does he get off? And it's like, he thinks he's Russell Westbrook, and he is.
What would happen if, what would happen if Joe Harris had stepped on Lucky the fucking leprechaun? Like, would he have still gotten a bottle toss
at him? What if Pat Connaughton did it? I don't know. People probably would have laughed. Yeah. Like, it's very different when you start looking at like these possible scenarios of like who else it could have been, like the hypotheticals, right? Like, yeah, that changes the whole situation.
Yeah, it does feel like also every time they criticize any player, there's almost always this underlying seething racism waiting to just bust out at the right moment there. I mean, like calling it a classless act. It's like, are you, that's the classless act?
That's the thing you have more logos, like anthropomorphic logos, so everybody could just stomp on them. But like you said, no one's going to get offended if you stomp on the Heat logo, which is just a on fire basketball, you know, or like the Raptors logo, it's just a dinosaur in running shoes. Like, no one's going to give a shit. But for some reason, this like precious little leprechaun who I don't like, he looks cocky as hell. You know, he always has. He's just like this winking, smarmy little guy.
Isn't he smoking a pipe too? That's always, yeah. What kind of message is that sending to the kids, Boston?
Terrible.
He's not a good person at all. And yet it's you're defending him.
It's a very like silly, stupid thing. And I can't believe the level of conversation around, the sincere level of conversation around it. I get all the jokes because I think they're well warranted. But like to take this as like, oh, the disrespect. And you know what? If there's anyone who does deserve to be disrespectful, it is Kyrie, because of all the things that were said to him while he played in Boston and have been said since, that all these other players have come out and supported him and said. And when Danny Ainge is the only detractor, when Danny Ainge is the one who's like, well, I've never experienced
this. I've never heard anything.
Players have never come to me with this. No way. Then that only is in the proof column.
Right. Right. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I don't know. Like, this week has been so weird. Like, I hate making this about me, but I had engaged Bucks fans. Like, for the first time, you know, I started on Twitter back in 2010, like right before the big three joined Miami, just to keep track of everything that was happening. And then, you know, I've been covering the league on and off since, you know, 2013, really, and maybe 2014. But either way, like, this is the first time I've ever really engaged a fan base the way that I did during the playoffs. And basically it was just to say, Bucks fan, this was after the game 2 loss that was particularly bad. It was a blowout. And I was just curious, because I had no idea. Like, I was seeing the seething comments from Milwaukee fans and like, oh, eat a dick, Heat, you know, like all these weird things, like insulting Jimmy Butler and everybody. It's like, what, you waited 8 months? You're up 2 games in a series and you waited 8 months to blast Miami for, you know, having ousted the Bucks in the playoffs last year? Like, I don't understand. Like, how do you embrace mediocrity that completely, where this is what you're looking forward to for 8 months? And they're like, oh, that's it. That's all they needed. It's all they needed. I had people, you know, criticizing my objectively good looks. I don't understand. Like, you know, telling me to eat a dick, to eat shit just so they could get blocked. It's like, and then every time I responded to them, it's like, oh, you know, you care about this too much. You're such a sad, pathetic loser and all this. And it's like, well, what am I supposed to do? You're like engaging me. There's hundreds of you literally engaging with me on Twitter. I don't think I have any choice but to either block you or mute you. And then, of course, once I start blocking people, then they're even more critical just so they can get the block. Like, there's so much about social media I don't understand at all.
But that is your only choice. It's like, and I sometimes do this too, because I'm like, bet I can talk some sense into this stranger that's probably like a 13-year-old boy who's so mad and just like so bored. It never works out. So like the only thing to do is to block or ignore. Ignore if you have strong willpower. Block if you don't. It's just like, put it out of your head.
Yeah,
but you make a great point that like, to save up all that time and that's the best they could do? Like, come on. Think of something a little more clever.
Well, I don't know. It was very, a very strange week, I guess. I'm glad it's over in terms of the interaction with Bucks fans. Although I'm still getting people listening to the show, Bucks fans listening to the show, just so they can be critical. And that's,
oh, like, yeah, they're going to listen to this one.
Let's hope so.
Come on, guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, let's hope so. Yeah. Keep listening to the show, guys. You're that's not how, that's not how you hurt this person, you know, by listening to the show. Make sure to download every episode. Listen to all of them. Criticize them all. But
also,
anyway.
Just like be stoked for your team that like maybe for the first time in many seasons has shown they're not as fraudulent as they have been. Like, ooh. Be happy about that.
No, not now. You're going to get some heat on Twitter.
But that
no.
is a genuine improvement. Whatever, but they have improved. They are.
You're a Raptors fan, Katie. What do you know? You were criticizing Bucks fans not that long ago too. So you're the worst. Believe me, you'll be getting plenty of hate tweets in your way soon. So
probably. Probably.
Please don't. Katie's a fantastic person and a great writer, and she doesn't deserve any of your hate. Not that I deserve it, but you know, I don't do it just because Katie went on and said something about the Bucks on my show. So anyway, Katie, this is your opportunity to plug anything you want to plug, to talk to my listeners and tell them to follow you, and please let them know where they can do so.
Well, first, thanks for having me, as always, and to your listeners, do not engage in online discourse. Take it. Page out of the Heat's book. Just take a little breather, take a vacation. It sucks what happened. Look forward to next season. The Heat are not frauds. The bubble was not
bubble guppies.
Oh my god, I haven't heard that one. It's fine. The season just was what it was. It's just like a beautiful, simple, straightforward truth that you can just take it and then leave it here. Do not carry it with you. You can read my new series that I'm going to do. I did start with the Heat, unfortunately, because they were the first team that had an exit.
It's called Exits. Cold-blooded.
I know. It's on Basketball Feelings. That's basketballfeelings.substack.com, but I'm going to be doing a retrospective or a new scene, something on every team as they get ousted, because it's going to happen to more teams. So also the Heat will be in good company soon enough. The only other plug I have, I wrote for Real GM a story about Marc Gasol and the Lakers finally not being afraid to use him and to play him. I'm super biased. Like, I'm super partial to Marc Gasol, so only read it if you are too.
Thank you so much for reminding me of that and for reminding my listeners where they can follow you and all your great work. Thanks again for taking the time to come on the show. And to all of my listeners, just a reminder, you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskHelloHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. A special thanks to all of our sponsors for supporting today's show. And thanks to all of you. I'm David Ramil signing off for now.